Hello and welcome to the B2 Football Podcast. I'm your host this week, Anthony Kendrick, and joining me we've got Nick Davies.
Good evening.
We've got Shane Lees.
Hello.
And we've got Richard Hero Hudson.
Yo, yo, yo.
Are we all well? Are we all having a good evening?
I'm no longer well after that yo, yo, yo.
I'm very happy.
That is good to hear.
Why are you happy, Nick?
Well, I've been off work all week. Because I've had quite a bit on, then I'm going to go on a 2-day bender.
Drinking bender. Does he know?
It's a 2-day drinking bender. You know what I meant. You don't have to make game. Come and look at me.
It's nothing but highbrow humour on this show.
Let's talk about some football, and we'll start with the light story of the week. Ched Evans has failed in his appeal against his conviction, but there is going to be a new trial as new evidence has come to light, which the court have decided they cannot ignore. He still maintains he's innocent, but with the new trial, who knows what we'll find out.
Well, he hasn't failed in his appeal. He succeeded in his appeal. They can't rule him innocent. They've quashed his previous conviction, which he had already served, and now they're doing it again. So basically, it's a do-over. Retrial, and I don't know, because he's already served half of his sentence, I think if he fails in his second trial, it will be a slightly extended sentence afterwards. So I'm not sure on the exact particulars, or, you know, the situation with remand or bailment, but yeah, it's essentially just wait and see how it goes.
I think at the moment that, like, I know Nick will suddenly come in and say something in a second, but I think we can't sort of say either way about anything at the moment.
Can't
going to
much.
A retrial.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say is, right, I'll say if he's guilty, I hope obviously he gets proven guilty, but I will say this, I kind of hope he is innocent because football's name has been dragged through the absolute shitter in the last 2 years with FIFA, Adam Johnson, Ched Evans before that. We need a win for once, so I hope he does turn out to be innocent.
If he is innocent, everyone who starts criticising him on TV will have to make a public apology.
You'd hope so, but you never know. Would anyone like to comment on the specifics of the case? Because I know...
I think we should go into an absolute extreme amount of detail and get us into trouble.
Well, I've read a lot about it, but I'd rather not comment personally. I don't know if anyone else has anything to
say. All it is new evidence has come up, which meant the previous trial would have been changed by that evidence, therefore they've got to do it again. So, you know, you have to just wait and see. It's innocent until proven guilty, and right now they've said it's... back to the status quo, back to naught. So we've got to wait and see on that. Well,
my personal belief is that I felt he was innocent from the first case, but you've still got to think there is potentially still a victim in this.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a sensitive issue, and I don't want to sort of cast aspersions upon anyone.
Okay, we'll move on to Leicester. They drew 2-2 with West Ham, but the referee was under a lot of
pressure. Jamie Vardy's having a shower. Jamie Vardy's having a shower.
Let's talk about Jamie Vardy then. Do we all think it was the right decision to send him off? Did he dive?
No.
Yes and no.
Yes.
The second decision was correct. The first one was wrong. But unfortunately, because the first one was made, the second decision had to be made as well. So overall, it was the right decision, but it shouldn't have happened the way it did because the first decision, his first booking, was never a booking in a million years.
You see, I disagree with you there because for the booking, it wasn't particularly that foul. I think it was the third or fourth foul that he'd done and the ref was telling him. I think it was more of an accumulation booking.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the referee needs to use a bit of common sense as well. When he was... Jamie Vardy was absolutely sprinting on that second one. What's he supposed to do when that guy runs in and clatters him from behind? Obviously, I know Vardy does. What's he supposed to do? He can't physically stay on his feet, so he's going to have to go to ground. Yes, maybe it's not a penalty, but it's certainly not a booking for diving.
I think it was a dive. I loved the Jamie Vardy story, but that's a dive. He's not the cleanest player there is. But yeah.
It's just going to... What's the movie?
I really don't know how they can make this sort of hero movie about Jamie Vardy. He's not a nice bloke.
He'll be an anti-hero, like the Punisher. It was good in Daredevil, it can work for football.
Yeah, but even the Punisher wasn't, like, racist.
I don't know, he's probably a dick.
Jamie Vardy is just a dick.
No one said they were making him the hero. Maybe this is from Tottenham's perspective, this story. Jamie Vardy's just villain supreme.
He's a hero to, like, people who live down... He's, like, a hero to, like, the people who come from, like playing in recreation football, though. And now he's become a Premier League global icon.
And something I'd want to make sure is in the video, you know, this movie. He's won more penalties, Jamie Vardy, on his own than any other team in the Premier League. Do you think there's something in that?
Well, Leicester as well have had more penalties, haven't they, than...
Yeah, no, Jamie Vardy on his own has won more penalties this season than any other Premier League team.
Right, well, the first thing you've obviously got to look at is you've got a bit of luck in there with any penalty call ever. There's always a bit of luck. But also on the fact that he's a very sort of lightweight player who's heavy on top and lightning quick. That kind of player is going to attract more fouls than others. It's the same reason Aguero gets fouled more than anyone, or Hazard's been fouled more than anyone. It just happens because they're that kind
Ronaldo
of player.
Ronaldo always used to be, didn't he?
Yeah, Ronaldo was the same.
Higher in the champion.
It's about the kind of the way you move, the way you sort of play the game. Some players are going to get fouled naturally more than others. So it's like Ibrahimovic won't get fouled too much because the players will not tackle him in the same way. They'll try and go shoulder to shoulder with him, whereas players going up against Jamie Vardy will try and put their foot in. Because they know they've got to, because if they give him a second, he'll be past them.
I've got a question for everyone. Has the sort of... has the tide turned against Leicester in regards to not like what they're doing on the pitch, but public opinion? Because I think there's starting to be a bit of bitterness towards Leicester now creeping in, rather than everybody being, yay, go Leicester, the underdogs.
Yeah, no, but I see what you're saying, and I agree, but I'm going to say that it's mostly irrelevant, because one, people are idiots. I'm sorry, viewers, the general person in this world is a fucking idiot. They're stupid, and they're reactionary, and they react to something that's just happened. So when Leicester, if they win the title, when they win the title, no one will care. No one will care about all the stuff with the penalty and Jamie Vardy being a nonce. No one will give a crap. Everyone will be, oh, it's so amazing for Leicester. People are just reactionary. They change their opinion from one week to the next. And I don't think you can pay that kind of crap much attention, because it is just based on people's general idiocy and the fact they can't think for more than 5 minutes about something that happened 5 minutes ago. Praising Leicester 1 minute, hating them the next. No, they'll be praising them if they win.
But Leicester themselves were denied an absolute stonewall penalty when Hoof got body checked to the floor, but the referee decided it wasn't a penalty when he gave one exactly the same a minute ago before.
Yeah, the referee's performance, it wasn't necessarily that he had the worst performance in the world, it was that it was brutally inconsistent. And he, that last decision, he only gave that because he knew he'd messed up a few of the other ones. You could see
I would say that they need to, this shirt pulling malarkey, they really need to have a big summer debate over it and get it sorted, because I've been to Brighton games where I've seen shirts literally get pulled off. For both sets, and both sets of players getting shirts pulled off, and the referee doesn't give them. But then there's been a slight pull, and he's, I think it was a Burnley away, and he gave a penalty. But then
do you think the referee's dealt with it in the right way? Because what it looked like he tried to do was he wasn't giving them at first, and then before the corner where the first penalty in the game, it looked like he was warning the Leicester defenders, you know. I've seen what's happened, do it again, and it's a penalty.
No.
That's how I saw it.
No, you don't get a referee at half-time going, right, lads, no more two-footed tackles. If it's against the rules, it's against the rules. You give a penalty for all of them, or you give a penalty for now.
Yeah,
this is what we're saying about consistency.
10 penalties in it.
Well, if they're giving penalty for it, the players will stop doing it. It's like the two-footed tackles thing. Eventually, you only get once every so often because they know it's just not worth doing this anymore. We're not going to stop the goals. We're going to cause them to happen. The thing with pulling in the box is they need to say, we're going to let it happen or we're not going to let it happen, and we're going to stick to that. First whistle to the last whistle for every single game, that consistency. Because that's the thing that's missing. It's not that they're necessarily making bad decisions. The West Ham penalty was great. Now, of course we're criticising the referees, because the rules are actually set. You're not allowed to do this. The referees aren't applying it properly, and they're not applying it consistently.
Sorry, if John Moss suddenly starts doing that at this game, then you'd be criticising him for giving, you know, 5, 6, 7 penalties, however many penalties. I think he did a really good job, and it's... I don't think he could have done anything else. I think it's the rules which need to change. I think all the referees need to be told... You know, you give a penalty irrespective of any grappling, whatever. But I think the referee, I don't think you can blame him, it's the rules.
But that is what the rules are. you give penalties for grappling in the box, you give penalties for shirt pulling in the box. Right, yeah, obviously they're not going to turn around on the 34th game of the season and go, right, we're going to now start applying it. They have to do that at the start of the season and do it to the end of the season. But the problem isn't the rules. The rules are well set. The rules are well organised. That's the one consistency for all the crap with FIFA and all that lot. The one thing that we've had consistent for about 100 years now is we know the rules of football. They've adjusted a little bit, but not massively. And it's not the rules that are wrong, it's the referees and the bodies that are organising the referees that are not being consistent about the way these rules are applied. It's not necessarily bad decisions. I agree. On the balance of it, that game turned out all right in terms of the way the decisions went. But the problem was he wasn't consistently applying the same decision over and over again. That's what you want to see. It would be, all I'll say is apply it to two-footed tackles. If the referee starts giving red cards for some two-footed tackles but not others, people are going to be up in arms because it's so much more obvious than something like grappling. But people, when it's grappling, people are a bit more lenient for some reason.
Okay. Just one final point I want to make. Roy Hodgson's got involved in the debate and he believes that Jamie Vardy shouldn't have been sent off, which I suppose you can say is protecting his player. But is this something, with this statistic I brought out, that he's won the most penalties, is this something that could be a concern at the Euros? Like, could European referees become aware of this?
Probably, because they'll probably have to scratch over.
I imagine it's just as much as, like, referees are aware that any player that's in La Liga is a dirty diver.
Yeah, when it comes to England performing in European competitions against other nations, tends to be we're the ones who aren't doing the dirty stuff. I mean, they're going to be watching the Spanish players and all that lot a bit more closely.
We'll get screwed over like we always do.
Yeah, inevitably by ourselves.
Vardy will probably get hit on the face and he'll get sent off for it.
Alright, let's move on from this. Ronnie Dyler's no longer the Celtic... Well, he's not going to be the Celtic manager next season. He said that some of the players at Celtic will be glad to see the back of him. what do you guys think of his...
love that honesty.
What do you think?
Such brilliant honesty.
Well, Celtic this year were just going to win the title, weren't they? Whatever they did.
you could have put a dummy in the dugout and he'd have got them the title.
Well, it might get a bit more interesting again next year now that Rangers are going back up, but it's Scottish football is in such a mire. For years, Celtic Rangers wanted to join the English League. But you put Celtic Rangers in the English League now, and they'd struggle to get out of the Championship.
I think they'd struggle. I think they'd be League One. Look at the name... Name Celtic players that are really that great. I can't.
Ones like Wanyama over the last few years.
We took Kyle off them and he's pretty.
The one good thing for both of them is that they've got a huge fan base. So if they did eventually join the English League and they got an investor behind them, then they could be possibly a threat. But they're currently there, such far behind the English League now, it's untrue.
Go on, Shane.
I was going to say about Ronnie Delia, is that I think what's happened with Celtic is it's not necessarily that it's been that poor. Yes, they've been bad in Europe recently. They haven't done as well as they should have done in the league and in the cups. But I think more than anything, they've seen Rangers are coming back up and they've looked at it and gone, have we become a bit complacent? I think this is panic. I think this is panic stations. They've gone, we've got an opportunity because the fans aren't really on his side to cut him loose and try and get someone else. Let's do that, because if we mess up, there's actually someone who could challenge us now. We could finally lose the league.
Do you think Rangers will be challenging next season? Do you think they've got a serious chance of winning the league coming straight up?
Not for a year or two, probably not. No, they need it. I mean, I know there's not much more money in the Scottish Premiership, but it is enough that it will be able to make a difference with them signing players. Plus with the fact that they'll have the reputation of being in Scotland's top division rather than being in Scotland's Championship. So I think... Yeah, I think maybe give it a year or two and they can start having a serious challenge. Other than that, they've got to depend on Celtic imploding under the newfound pressure.
They did win it, though. They did win the Scottish Cup, though, Rangers, to be fair to them. And yeah. I thought that was a cracking game on. I mean, I'm not really into Scottish football at all, but I thought Old Firm Derby hasn't been played for ages. I watched it on Sunday and I thought it was a really good game.
Yeah, I think they could finish second.
I really enjoyed it.
Who do we think will be the next Celtic manager, then? The paper talks with David Moyes, who says he's going to make a decision at the end of the season on his future. We've got Neil Lennon, Roy Keane, Paul Lambert, maybe. Who do we see coming in?
Well,
Bill Lennon would be the safe choice.
Yeah, I'll say this about David Moyes. He's just hedging his bets. If he wanted the Celtic job, he'd say right now, I want the Celtic job. He wants the Everton job, and he's waiting to see if Martinez is going to get the sack, whilst keeping the option open for Celtic.
Oh, exactly. Oh, yeah, of course he is, yeah.
In terms of the rest of it,
it'd be a waste for Moyes. You might as well give it to someone like Neil Lennon, who's proven that he can't hack it over here, and just let him just rot in the Scottish league, really.
Celtic is a big club. I know, yes, it's a Scottish club, so there's people going to be harsh about all that sort of stuff. But they're a big club, and you look at the calibre of managers they can attract, and you sort of think, God, that just, it's not very good. I mean, even like the Dutch league, it is better than the Scottish league, but it's not like amazing. You look at the quality of the top managers in Holland, and you compare it to, say, Scotland, and they're a league that like to compare themselves to each other. It's sort of it's a bit damning, I think.
And then I think if Moyes wants it, he'll take it, but I think he's too good for that. I think Neil Lennon would be a good one. Did well there first time round. I think it'll tick boxes for both of them, really. He can get a bit of point. I'm presuming Neil Lennon is still really well liked over there, and I don't really know. He didn't leave on bad terms, did he?
A step back, isn't it?
From Bolton?
No, when he left Celtic, did he get...
It's just one of them where it's like, you should never really go back.
But he's not going to get a better job, though.
No, he won't. When he left Celtic, I thought he'd end up at a Premier League side. He's chosen Bolton, and I think his reputation's gone down.
It was a very odd choice, given the fact they were sort of always heading into League One at some stage.
Just sticking with Bolton briefly, I saw they've got Townsend come in to help out at the club. Just a little thing I saw today.
We've entered the 72 show.
Yeah, it was just a small little thing I thought I'd mention. Alright, just...
Townsend's a brilliant... He's going to state the obvious, though, every time. If they score...
Maybe that's what they need at Bolton, though. We're in Tet, help.
I think we need someone marking that someone from a corner there, Jeff.
I think they need a lot of money at the moment.
You can just see it now in training. The striker takes it around the keeper and smacks wide. I don't think he's going to be our problem here. You can see a centre-back who scores now and go, I think he's put that one in the wrong end.
Just one final thing I want to mention. We did a poll this week on Twitter asking our followers which Champions League final would they most like to see. Most popular final people want 41% of the vote went to City v Bayern, followed by Real Madrid Atletico. So out of interest, what final would you like to see most?
Well, I think City Bayern definitely, because that would just be so interesting that it could be potentially Pep Guardiola stopping City from playing Champions League football next year.
Well, I wanted City Atletico, but that pretty much can't happen. So I'd go for City v Bayern merely because I don't want another Spanish side to win it. That would guarantee it.
Personally, I'd like the Real Madrid Atletico final. But...
England haven't won it for ages.
Yeah,
I'd like Real Madrid Bayern.
Yeah, you're a bit like me. It just can't happen.
Different views then amongst us lot. Let's move on then to the first round of our quiz this week. The questions have come from Chris Lappin, so don't hate me here over this first question.
Not well soon.
Football League.
Well, can I not do this,
Ben? Well, the question is for all of you. You'll take it in turns giving the answers. So there's four. You'll get four chances to give answers each for 4 points. So I want you to name sides which are currently in the playoff positions of either the Championship, League One, or League Two. So four answers each. We'll start with Richard because you put... We know the least about this subject, and I'll make it fun.
I know one straight away. Next team, Brighton.
Yeah, they're currently third in the Championship.
Because they went down one, didn't they, when Burnley...
They did. Okay, over to you, Shane.
I'll go for one of the teams I love to do on Football Manager, Sheffield Wednesday. Make them great again. I'm the Donald Trump of Sheffield Wednesday.
Also in the Championship playoffs, sixth place.
Oh, Sheffield Wednesday back up there. They've been dire for years.
Yeah, maybe you should listen to the 72 show more, Rick.
Hey!
Rick!
You can hear more of my voice on there as well, Hero.
Well, that's selling it.
I'll go for Hull City.
Yeah, correct. They're in fourth place in the championship. Right, back to you, Rich.
I'll go for your side then. Derby.
Yeah, they're fifth in the championships. That's all the championship sides named now.
Yeah, that's probably stupid now.
We are Millwall, Super Millwall.
Yeah, fourth place in the championship.
Oh, they're not coming back.
Sorry,
in
league. That's good. Sorry.
God, you don't like Millwall? What's wrong with you?
Well, because I've got brain cells and like I'm not a racist.
No one likes us. No one likes us.
I'm bored of Gunnermill. It's a bit of a boring away game now, so I've been there too many times. I don't really want to go back.
You come back without like having your mouth slit and stuff?
No, it's one of the safest away games because they've got the cage where they send all the away fans down.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Nick?
League One playoffs. I'll go for Gillingham.
Yeah, sixth place in League One. Rich, back to you.
Yeah, I'm struggling now.
No googling. I know you're right.
2 points. You'll have as long as you can stay in it for the second round. You've got every chance.
I'll go down a division still, and I think that Portsmouth might be in there.
That's going to be my one.
They are in sixth place. They've lost the last couple of games, but they're still in the playoffs. Their hopes of automatic promotion have gone, though, as we discussed last night. Shane?
I can't really remember the League One's one anymore, so I think Wimbledon are still in it, though.
Yeah, they're in seventh and yeah. Two.
And then I'll go for the Polish team Warsaw.
Yeah, they're also
Polish team Warsaw. Just got that. Sorry, I just got that.
Back over to you, Rich. You got three right so far. I'm impressed.
I don't know now.
If you're not sure, name a football league side that's doing quite well.
We had this before where I said just name a football league player and he just kept on saying I literally don't know.
Rochdale?
No, I'm sorry, they're not currently in the playoffs.
It's not a bad effort though.
No, it's
aren't Rochdale going down? I thought they were going down, Rochdale.
I thought they were doing well.
No, they're about 8th or 9th in the league. They were going down. They've won quite a lot recently because they discussed it on the show last night. They're one of the ones that can gatecrash the playoffs.
I think I'm thinking of Dan.
Hey, that's not a bad shout then.
No, it's not. It's not an embarrassing shout.
He's done his research, at least, on the 72 show.
It's just not right, unfortunately, so he's down 3 points. Shane, over to you.
It's like catchphrase. It's a good guess, but it's not right.
Right.
I can't remember who the other League One team is. I think I know it, but I don't know it safely. I'm going to go with Plymouth.
Yeah, they're fourth in the League Two. Also, we're looking at automatic promotion until recently. All right, Nick, over to you for the last answer.
Bradford City.
That was it.
Yeah, they're fifth in League One. So it's 4 points for Nick and Shane going into the second round, which we'll have later in the show, and Richard's on three, so he's not out of it, but yeah. Just to name them all, for Championship, you've got Brighton, Hull, Derby, Sheffield Wednesday. League One, it's Walsall, Millwall, Bradford and Gillingham. And in League Two, it's Plymouth, Bristol Rovers, Portsmouth and Wimbledon. So I don't know if any of them...
Overground, underground, one battle in three... There are one
ball. All right, well, we'll come back to that later and move on. The top four race continues. So what I want to ask, Arsenal tonight, well, as it stands as we're recording the podcast, Arsenal are playing, they're currently 2-0 up. Is there a chance they can bottle it, the top four?
No.
I've got it here. They're playing West Brom tonight, and then after that they've got Sunderland, Norwich, Man City, and then Villa.
No, they can't bottle it. For people saying Arsenal could bottle it, everyone's forgetting. Yeah, they bottled the title race, but this is Arsenal's comfort zone. No pressure, going for fourth. This is what they do. They won't bottle it. They're going to be playing with so much freedom now that they finally fucked up sufficiently. That's what Arsenal do. That is their entire life. So, yeah, no chance.
Sorry. And apart from the game against City, they're playing some shite teams there.
Yeah, but they've got Sunderland and Norwich, who...
Exactly.
No, they're both fighting relegation and need...
They might be fighting for relegation, but the reason that they're fighting relegation is because they're still a shite team.
Just try and play devil's advocate here and you shoot...
Even if you combined them, they would still be a shite team.
there's a reason why they're that far down is because they've not been playing well.
I'll put it out there. If Norwich played 14 players on the pitch, I still reckon they'd lose.
All right, well, who thought Arsenal would drop points at the weekend to Crystal Palace?
Not me.
I thought it was a possibility.
Palace, I think they've won once in 2016. I mean, I don't think it's all as cut and dry as you guys seem to think.
No, but it's Arsenal. It's Arsenal and it's fourth place. It's literally all they can do. That's it.
Yeah, they've got Sunderland away on Sunday, and Sunderland, they might have a bit of confidence going after their win at Norwich.
I just don't buy it.
Okay. Well, let's assume Arsenal get third place. Well, top four place. That leaves United and City to battle it out. United won last night against Palace. They've got an interesting run in Leicester, Norwich, West Ham, and Bournemouth. Could United nick a top four spot?
I'd like them to. I don't think they will.
Yeah, they could. It's just the games they've got, with the exception of maybe Norwich, are all games that you would actually say United could go and lose. Bournemouth, they're one of those tricky ties for the big teams. I think it was West Ham as well, wasn't it? I know it's only they've got to make up one game on City, but City are kind of re-energised. They're revitalised now that De Bruyne is back. And they may have drawn with Newcastle, but that was just a crap game all round. I don't think they've got enough.
The course is that City have got, obviously, the bigger distraction of the Champions League. I know United's still in the FA Cup.
Well, here's the thing with City's run-in. They play Arsenal immediately after their second leg against Real Madrid, so that is a game where they may be, you know, if they say draw or the first leg's close and it's all to play for, you know, that could be a game, that's a losable game for City. And they've also got to play Stoke, Southampton and Swansea, so I think this top four race, there's still legs in it.
I don't know.
But what can always happen is that United do finish fourth. And still don't get into the Champions League next year.
Yeah, also, I will say this, but a lot of people, I've seen people saying it, oh, Southampton's a tough game for City. No, they batter us every single time they play us. We are literally their easy 3 points. They shit on us every single time. So there's no chance we're taking points off them. Maybe Stoke, sure, but not us. Not going to happen. We're not doing anyone any favours.
Okay, so to summarise, we think Arsenal and City will stay in the top four. United won't get a top four spot, or...
Yeah, I know it's an anti-climax a bit to the end of the season, but at least the title race has picked up again, and the race for one of those sides to get out of the bottom four has picked up. I can't see Man United pulling it away, simply because I think it's still all to play for between City and United, and with that sort of edge of contest that they've got between those two clubs, and it is 2 points... I just don't see it. I will say this though, if United do manage to nick it, I do reckon they would be one of the worst sides to ever get top four football in terms of the way they've been this season.
Okay,
what will happen is that United will get into some sort of advantage with one game to go, and then Van Gaal will stick Rashford as centre back or something.
Smalling up top.
No faith in the manager.
Not at all.
Just something you mentioned, Shane. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I guess I should now. Do we think there's actually a title race on, or do we think?
It's too much for them to come back.
Yeah, you would say it's too much for them to come back, and I do agree. I do think Leicester are going to go on and do it, but they've got hard games. Leicester, Tottenham have got not easy games, but easier, and they've lost Vardy. And between Okazaki and Aloha, or Ajoa, however you pronounce that, There's not too many, and Riyad Mahrez is out of form a bit lately. There's not too many goals in that Leicester side. If they can keep doing what they've been doing and nick it 1-0, keep the clean sheets, then yeah, I think they can. But it's more open than it was before. It's a little bit more interesting. If it was still sort of, you know, 8-9 points, I'd have said, yeah, they're not going to lose three of their last games, Leicester, but it's a bit more open now.
The fact of it is that I know it's four games left, but Spurs have got a much better goal difference. So it really is just that Leicester need to lose one and draw one, and it could be Spurs.
Oh,
you look at what they've got left, and they could quite easily lose and draw one. But then it does rely on Spurs having to win all four.
The form Spurs are in, I'd back them to win all four. I just don't think it'll be enough to stop Leicester, personally.
Yeah, that's my position as well.
Spurs are very much now the best team in the league. It may have come too late for them, but they're the best team in the league now.
Okay. I just want to look at the other league, the worst teams in the league, the relegation battle. It was a big point for Newcastle last night against City, and they could have won the game, Newcastle. It was a good chance late on for Wijnaldum.
I don't think I don't think it was a good point. It was a game that ended up badly for both sides. Newcastle, at this stage in the season, need wins. Yes, if they stay up by 1 point, obviously it's a big deal. But that point doesn't do many favours. They're in the exact same position they were in before, in terms of they still need to get a win, and they need the sides above them to lose. It's still the exact same situation before. So I think, for me, if I was a Newcastle fan, I'd be looking at that and going 3 points dropped, rather than a point gained.
Or 2 points.
Yeah, you know what I mean. we should have got the win, got the draw, and that's a bad thing.
Well, how much of a difference do you think Benitez will make to Newcastle, or has made to Newcastle, I guess we can say now?
It's too difficult to say, because you talk about managerial bounces, you know, a new manager comes in and they lift the team, but you've also got to remember that when you're talking about sides in the relegation zone coming into their last run of games, anything can go. You can get a side that decides, right, now we're going to start playing. Or you can get a side that just bottles it completely and says, can't be bothered with this, we're not up for this fight. So you don't know what would have happened otherwise. They could have got the fight back in them. So I think it's... you'd need to see what would happen if Benitez stays on for another year to be able to say that.
Oh, no, they go down, he's off.
Oh, yeah, that's the problem. He's
not managing a championship football club next season. No way, Jose.
That would be a serious drop, Real Madrid to championship in 1 year.
It won't happen.
Well, of the last four games Newcastle have got, they've got Villa and Crystal Palace, which are obviously both winnable games. And, you know, that makes you think that maybe they could stay up.
Well, Villa, if you don't win at this stage of the season, then you don't deserve to stay up, quite frankly. It's true. If you've got something to play for, you're playing a side that's already been relegated. It's inexcusable if you don't win it. So I think they've got to claim 3 points there. Palace,
for me, have done a bit of a Newcastle this season.
Well, they've sort of against Arsenal.
They went on holiday at Christmas, didn't they?
Yeah, Newcastle 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's like, do well first half of the season, second half, just give up.
Have a good few last games so that Pardew still gets the credit.
With Palace should be safe, they should be alright, although they have won 1 in 18. They started this year, 2016, fifth in the league, and they've absolutely sank like a stone.
Yeah. They've been, for me, the biggest disappointment of this season. Because I certainly remember sort of saying at the season preview that they were the possible dark horse in the Premier League, and they've been gashed this second half of the season.
I don't know. I reckon there's some West Brom fans who might disagree with you.
No, West Brom. Nobody thought West Brom could have been a decent club this year.
Yeah, but
always, yeah.
They've basically not been a club this year. They've just been there. That's all West Brom have done. Existed.
Palace could have done a lot better this year.
Palace? Well, the other game at the weekend, the big game, which we sort of mentioned in passing, Sunderland, they got 3 points at the weekend after beating Norwich 3-0. But what I want to ask is could Norwich just get no more points between now and the end of the season? Because they've got Arsenal, United, Watford, Everton. Is there a case to say that's it? Norwich could lose them four games and then they're almost certainly down.
Well, if they're going to Everton at Goodison Park, then they'll smash them. Everton can't play football at home. So, I don't know about that last game. Watford and Everton are winnable games. I think the first two, yeah, that you're really looking for a result there if you think they're going to get one. But, no, I think they could get maybe, at the most, 4 points. But then again, between now and the end of the season, Sunderland, Newcastle, with the games they've got, are they going to make up that deficit? I think 5 or 6 points between them? It is close. It's the closest bit we've got at the end of the season. So I think that is good to have. And we actually can have a proper finish for a season. But they should have enough to stay up, Norwich. And it will be... They will look at that. If they go down this year, they will look at that as an absolute disaster because they should not have gone down.
Okay, something I want to ask as well. The other poll which we posted on our Twitter this week. So we asked fans, which club will be least damaged by relegation to the Championship? What do you guys think out of Newcastle and Sunderland?
Sunderland.
Yes.
Why?
I think we said this last week, didn't we? That they just, under Big Sam, who knows the league inside out, he's done it with West Ham before, they've got, obviously, Jermaine Defoe, Lee Catamol, players that can get them promoted back up, that they're in the best shape. And then you've got Wes Brown, John O'Shea at the back, who are experienced men. But then you've got Newcastle and Villa, who've just got all these fancy foreign players who can hack it in the Premier League, and they certainly won't hack it in the Championship, which requires that extra more energy levels week in, week out, that extra more commitment, that extra more desire to win football matches.
Yeah, Sunderland have a Championship side, and the thing is, you look at Newcastle and Villa and say they've got to sell off a lot of players. Sunderland, you don't say that about their players. They can keep a lot of their players and use them in the Championship, and they will be of the quality. And they don't have two massive wages that they're going to need to get people off that wage bill straight away. They need to cut down on finances. They're not in a bad situation if they go down. Newcastle or Villa, they've got the players who just do not fit the Championship at all, not in any way, and they got a lot of players who are on a lot of money. So I think that's their problem.
Did Newcastle not put clauses into Shelvey and Townsend's contract?
They didn't. That was confirmed that there's no relegation clause.
Idiots. Yeah,
that's clever.
That's a really well-run club. I think everyone can understand what the Geordies are complaining about.
Well, on the poll, it was a lot closer than you guys think. We would have guessed based on this. 56% of people thought Sunderland would be less damaged, and 44% said Newcastle, so maybe the viewers see it a bit differently to us, I don't know.
I think a lot of people just look at Newcastle and they see a big club with good players and think that'll be okay for the Championship. But then again, you should have said the same about Fulham when they went down, and they almost went down again. They're still trying to recover, Fulham. It's like when you're playing a football game, like FIFA or Football Manager. You look at those players and go, oh, that'll walk for Championship, that's easy. But then they get sent off 12 times in a row, and you think, Jesus Christ, this team was not cut out for this league. The Championship is a slog. It's a fist fight. That's how you get out of it. And Newcastle do not have players for that. They have players they've got to get off that wage bill, off that team.
All right. Let's move on to the second round of our quiz. As it stands, Nick and Shane both got 4 points in the first round. Richard, one behind on three, so it's all to play for. So, again, as before, Chris has set the question. And the question for this round is to name sides that have played in FA Cup finals this century. We'll start with Nick, as Nick was last in the first round to play. And then we'll go to Shane and then Richard. So, questions to name any side that has played in an FA Cup final this century, so since 2000. Nick, to play first.
FA Cup final, you say? Go for the famous bottlers, Arsenal.
Yep, they've played in 6 FA Cup finals.
So this is just finalists, not winners?
Yeah, they don't have to have won it. They've just got to the final.
All right, Wigan.
Yes, 2013 FA Cup final.
I'll go for my Man United.
Yep, not been there since 2007, but they've been there 3 times this century. It's a point each so far. Over to you, Nick.
I'll go for Aston Villa.
Yep, they've got there twice in 2000 and in 2015, last season.
City.
Yeah, 2011
and 2013.
Chavsky. Yeah, they've been there 6 times. 2000, 2002, 2007, 2009, 2010 and 2012.
I'll go for, is it my go?
Yeah.
That's, yeah, it's you.
Hull City.
Yeah, 2014 finalists.
Unfortunately, I've got to go for this one. Portsmouth.
Yeah, 2008, 2010.
Liverpool.
Yeah, they've been there 2001, 2006, 2012.
Is it my go?
Yeah.
Stoke City.
Yeah, 2011 finalists.
Cardiff.
Yeah, good shout. Another 2008.
A really great final, West Ham.
Yeah, 2006. Lost to Liverpool.
Millwall.
Sorry?
Millwall.
Yeah. Yeah, but they lost that to United. 2004 final. There's two more left to get, so...
I think I know them as well. Obviously got to go for my one then, Southampton.
Yeah, they were there in 2003.
Yeah. Bloody lost.
So, Richard, can you get this final one?
I'm thinking the only one I can think that is left is the one that United are playing this weekend, Everton. Has that been said?
It hasn't been said, and they were there in 2009, so that's a full house. So, after both rounds, Nick and Shane have both ended up on 9 points, with Richard on 8, so... we have joint winners this week with Yay. Nick and Shane. So congratulations to both.
I don't do sharing.
And people say we don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, that was impressive, actually. I don't think I'd have done that as well as you guys have done.
I don't want to share this award. I want a death question.
A death question.
When will you die?
Sorry?
He wants a death question. When will you die? Guess that one correctly, Nick.
I drink probably a lot younger than I should.
Just doing a hasty Google search for a question if you want one.
It must be a death question.
Well, I just Googled death question. I don't recommend you Google.
I'll get one for you both.
To be fair to Google, it always tries to stop cheats.
Which of the two Manchester clubs was the first to win the FA Cup?
Man City.
Nick gets it first.
All right.
So next winner.
Yeah.
Sure, all right.
Hooray!
Okay, congratulations, Nick. All right, let's stick with the FA Cup then. It's FA Cup weekend this weekend. So, I just want to know your thoughts on the games. So, we'll start with the United-Everton game, which is on at 5:15 on Saturday evening. What do you guys make of it?
I think it's a weird game in that the FA Cup is something that, like, most fans of any team should want to win. But there seems to be a growing number of fans for both clubs that would quite happily lose this game if it results in their manager getting sacked.
No, I don't think he's wrong at all about that. Everton fans don't want Martinez anymore, and a lot of Man United fans, probably the majority at this point, don't want Van Gaal anymore. And they both know that, assuming neither of them get, you know, top four or anything like that, that the only thing that will keep those managers in the job, if it does keep them in the job, is winning the FA Cup. And so, I think both of them kind of, they'll be content if they lose, but at the same time, kind of happy if they win. It's a no-lose situation, apart from for the managers.
Like, Everton have got a problem at centre-back. Jagielka and Funes Mori are definitely out, and possibly John Stones. At the end of the game last night, they have Besic and McCarthy both playing at centre-back, so that could be a big problem for them.
In fairness, they had a problem anyway if they had Jagielka and Mori in defence, because they're both crap.
Okay, I quite rate Funes Mori, actually. Last night, he obviously got sent off, but I think he's a decent defender.
No, I'm not a fan.
Oh, I'd say he's a bit like David Luiz. He sometimes looks very good, but then you actually start to see him in a defensive setting and he suddenly doesn't look very good anymore.
You see, I think he's quite a rough... Like, Gabriel as well, I like at Arsenal. He's that sort of defender. I quite like that South American sort of aggressive style.
That sort of South American not really knowing how to be a defender sort
yeah,
of style.
Yeah, being a defensive what midfielder at the back.
Okay.
Well, okay. How many really good South American defenders are there? And I mean South American defenders who could go out there and play in any team in the world. Thiago Silva is crap. I don't get why people think Thiago Silva is that great. He isn't. Any time he goes up against a decent team, he gets shit on. Every time.
Really?
Every time. Oh my god. When was the last time anyone put... Tell me now, what was the last game Thiago Silva against a good side played a good match in?
Well, the World Cup last year until he was
what,
banned.
You mean in one of the worst Brazil teams ever?
No. Until Thiago Silva was banned, the Brazil defence was rock solid.
Was it?
Yeah, until that.
I don't think it was. I think that's some selective memory there.
Germany.
Yeah, maybe
5-1. By Chile?
Huh?
Didn't you get... I know they beat Chile, but weren't they sort of getting properly battered by him in the game and they shouldn't have gone through?
Wasn't it? It was Colombia as well that kind of shattered them a little bit. I don't get... Jerome Boateng, yeah, great defender, no question about that. Bloody hate it because he's a German one, and I don't like the fact they've probably got the best defender in the world, but he is that good. Thiago Silva, I'm sorry, you put him in, like, I don't know, City's team or something like that, and he would be like Mangala, just ripped to shreds every time he's on that pitch. You put that defender up against a good player, oh, God, he's so overrated.
Joey Barton agrees with you on that. He said on Twitter a few times...
I mean, great company. Great company.
Okay, let's come back to the United-Everton game. What do we think the score will be?
I think United will win because I think Everton at the moment are in just such disarray.
I think Everton will win.
No, I'm going 3-0 to United.
See, I think that a lot of those players, a bit like how Ronnie Dealey has come out and said, a lot of these players don't want me here anymore. I reckon some of the Man United fans will be thinking the same about Van Gaal. But also, let's not forget, Everton are a crap side at home, but you put them away from home, and suddenly they can play football again. And it's at Wembley, so there's going to be a bit of pressure off. So, I think Everton can do it. I think they'll have a lot more impetus to do it than United will do it.
Everton players are in the same boat as United, though, that they just want rid of the manager, though.
I think they're going to have a lot more motivation to do it than you. I think United will approach that game quite casually, whereas Everton will not. And they'll have the added bonus of they're not playing in the ground that they are the shittest at.
Nick, you got any opinion?
No.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Welcome to a podcast where we're supposed to talk about our opinions.
I think, to be fair to Everton and United, I think... either way, if they win the competition, I think their manager's going to be leaving at the end of the season. I can't see... I think Martinez, I don't think he'll be staying there at the end of the season regardless. I think it'll be a... like if he wins the FA Cup, it'll be a perfect send-off. Van Gaal, if he gets fourth, wins the FA Cup, maybe he's got a fighting case that... Oh, hang on a minute, why are we getting rid of Van Gaal if he's done that? But no, I think either of them are going to be on the way in this season. But I've got... terrible, terrible, terrible feeling that Palace are going to win the whole thing.
All right, well, let's look at the other game then. Palace v Watford. Who do we fancy to get through to the final?
Sadly, Palace.
Why sadly? What's wrong with Palace?
Because he's a Brighton fan. They always hate Palace.
Oh, of course. Sorry.
Gum.
That was dumb of me.
They're pure scum.
I actually agree. I say Palace will do it. Watford have been... just diabolical. And like, we talk about Palace having like absolutely thrown away a good start to the season. Watford have done the exact same thing. They've gone under the radar completely. But I think Palace have a tendency, and more specifically Pardew teams have a tendency to be amazing for the first part of the year, crap for a big bit, and at the end they just sort of make it all look good again. And I can see it's a perfect opportunity for Pardew and Palace to go and do that.
Well, the thing is for both teams they've got a big problem with strikers, because for Watford, Troy Deeney and Ighalo have both been out of form for a while. And then Palace, they've not had any striker in form all season, have they? They played Adebayor against United last night, who did nothing, and all season they've not had a striker to do anything for them.
A semi-final of an FA Cup is where Adebayo sort of flourishes, though, isn't it? It's like the one time TV cameras are on him and he's got a bit of a spotlight, he'll have a good game and it's like, hey, look at me again.
80 grand contract in the bag.
I've just justified a new one for next year.
So you guys think Palace will make the final?
I reckon Palace, Everton, Palace win it.
Rich, Nick?
I'm going to go completely the opposite way around. I'm going to go Watford United and United win it.
Shocking, no. That.
Alright, well, you can watch that game at 4 o'clock on Sunday on BT Sport. I think we've
reached... That is a gash semi-final, though, Watford versus Palace.
Well, they didn't get first pick of the TV rights. Alright, well, I think we've reached the end of the show, unless there's anything else people want to mention or discuss.
If you want to see Nick out on a bender, go down to Brighton this weekend.
You can listen to Nick on the 72 show.
What a mental image.
You can listen to me and Nick on the 72 show. We recorded a really good show last night with the Cheltenham assistant manager, Ross. Ross.
Russ. That's an interesting name.
Good man, Russ.
Russ Milton. No, is that like Neville Neville?
We recorded a really good show with Ross Milton last night, a Cheltenham assistant manager. Spoke about the Football League as we do, and also did a bit about the National League. It was a great show. I'm sure you'd agree, Nick.
Absolutely outstanding. As I 72 show, I really would recommend giving it a listen. It's just as fantastic as the BT Football podcast. So I couldn't get my words out then. Fantastic guests we've had on, and yeah, just a big thanks to everyone who's listening to this show and also making the 72 show a success as well. As I say, we're hoping just continue the hard work over the off season, so to speak, over the summer. If you've got any ideas of how we can get either show better, please get in contact with us on Twitter.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. All right. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for listening to the show. You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football. You can check out our Facebook page. We've got a YouTube page. You can check out the 72 shows I've mentioned. I've been Anthony Kendrick. It's good night from me and good night to my guests tonight, Nick Davey, Shane Lees and Richard Hero Hudson.
Night.
Good night. Good night.